Please turn with me to Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 4. We read it last week and we are reading it again because this week's message is a continuation of the last 2 weeks' message, Discovering Greatness. Discovering Greatness. Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 4 says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look at the rock from which you were hewn, and the hole out of the pit from which you were dug. Look at Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all our waste places. He will make our wilderness like Eden, and our desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For the law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light to the peoples." Hallelujah. There are many aspects of, or aspects to understanding and discovering greatness. One of which is studying the life of Abraham, which is what Isaiah 51 is practically telling us. Look to Abraham. Study his life. What did Abraham do? Amen. Abraham was an ardent believer in God. He was an ardent believer. He was passionate about God, about the things of God. He was enthusiastic about it. Hallelujah. And whatever God says was the rule of law for Abraham. One of the things in my study of Abraham is that I found out Abraham never analyzed God's instructions. We're talking about greatness here. Abraham never analyzed God's instructions. Beginning from when God called him out of his father's house, God approached him with a powerful promise in Genesis 12, 1 to 4. I added 4 for what I'm about to say. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" Let me tell you here, brethren, God doesn't make things easy for people. His demands are difficult. Believe me. God's demands, God's instructions are not easy. They are difficult. But guess what? He supplies the grace. Hallelujah. He says, "To a land I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What a great promise. But let's look at the next thing Abraham did. Verse 4. Come on. Let's read together. So, Abraham did what? No. He analyzed. He departed. Immediately God told him, "I bring you this promise. This is what I'm going to do through you. If you can come out of your familiar territory, if you can come out of your comfort zone, I will bless you, I will make you great, and I will make you a blessing." Even though the agenda of God was make you a blessing. Praise the Lord. Maybe another preaching I will say that. And Abraham departed. He departed as the Lord has spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham acted immediately. Abraham acted instantly to the instructions. He acted on the instruction, believing God, the one who made the promise, and believing the promise. Can I tell you something, folks? Man may lie. God never lies. Politicians lie. God never lie. Sometimes parents lie. God never lie. Hallelujah. God says, study. Study the lifestyle of Abraham. Though he was not perfect, but he was trusting. We are not perfect, but as long as we are trusting God, amen, every man is a work in progress. Every human being, every child of God is a work in progress. There is no perfect child of God. Don't let the devil use that against you and bring guilt into your heart and then say, look at you. My perfection is Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. But the key thing is, how do you yield to the instructions? How you yield to instructions will determine the level of greatness that will be manifested through you. Instructions is pain. Even our little children don't want to follow instruction. Go and do your chores. Why? But we who told them, we know it's for their benefit. And somebody will say, what's the benefit in doing my chores? It makes you a better person when you grow up. You know how to undo your life. Praise the Lord. Because your mother won't be there. Amen. Your father won't be there. Hallelujah. When you are able to follow, isn't it amazing that at your job you follow instructions, whether you like it or not, because you have that paycheck in view. But God has a bigger promise, bigger than your paycheck. Can I hear somebody say an amen? 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 The truth is, when you are spiritual, you understand spiritual things. And you don't analyze yourself out of it. The Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man fights against it. The natural man who does not believe God, who does not trust God, fights against the things that God is doing, that God is asking us to do. Many of our young people today, they have died for no reason at all. You are stopped by the police and you stand arguing with the police that stops you. Why are you arguing? Whether you are in the right or you are in the wrong, why are you arguing? Police are trained in the way they are trained. If you show any kind of resistance, you trigger their training. Their hands go to their gun because they too want to go home. They don't know what you have. You understand what I'm trying to say? For a few minutes, what's the big deal with yes, sir? Put your hands on this. Yes, sir. Raise your hands up. Yes, sir. Come out of your car. Yes, sir. And if you want to move, can I? Not too long ago, I was driving and I was listening to a message in my car and I missed my way. You know, I think I was talking to my wife at the time that I miss, most times when I miss my way. You know, then I'll cut the conversation and say, I'll call you back. I missed my way and then I ran through the red light. There was this police guy right there in his car coming. Immediately, whoop, whoop. He stopped me. I put my two hands immediately visibly on the steering wheel. He came close by me. He said, did you know you ran the red light? I said, yes, I saw you. I was nervous. And he could hear, the message was still playing in my car. He knew I was a respectable man. Immediately he said, okay. He said, but you know you could have hit somebody. I said, I realize that, I'm sorry. He said, okay, be careful. And he sent me on my way. He was a white policeman. I was a black man. He didn't bring out his gun. Decency demands that we follow instructions. You can't be angry against instruction. Instructions always win. You are writing an exam. They say, don't write in this line. And you are smarter than the examiner. You wrote in that line. That's minus 70. Following instruction will save life. Will save our young people's lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let me say something here. Unbelief is at the root of disobedience. What unbelief means, I don't trust you, so I'm not going to obey you. I'm not saying every policeman is a good man, just like not every citizen is a good citizen. Some people are out there to hurt police people. You understand me? And then some policemen too are out there to hurt people. Praise the Lord. But when we trust, we will not disobey instructions. If my son knows that the reason why I'm telling him this thing is for his benefit, and he trusts me as his father, he will not disobey. When you go to college, be careful who your friends are. Don't let them derail you. You are in college to read, to study, not to have fun. Because in the college, they will tell you, oh, you are an adult now. Yes, they are throwing you into the deep. The things you've never experienced before. Because they said it in college does not mean you put something to stop your hearing from your parents. I'm smarter than my dad now. What do you know? I know how to make you safe. I know how to make you responsible. If you can just follow the instruction. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 10 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Your understanding will fail you outside God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Isn't that so wonderful? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil friends, evil companies, evil companions. He says it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. We are at the beginning of the year where we talk about first fruit. It's an instruction, an injunction from God. Don't fight it. It's for your benefit. Look at the promise attached to it. He says, honor the Lord with and with your first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. You see, anything about God is spiritual and is supernatural. Hallelujah. And your vats will overflow with new wine, with laughter. This February coming, I want to encourage you. Every day, read a chapter of the book of Proverbs. Make it a responsibility. How can you be great if you are not gravitating towards God's leading, towards God's instructions? How can you be great? God said to Abraham, depart from idolatry. Depart from foolishness. He did so on his way to greatness. Hallelujah. God is calling you too. God is calling me too. To detach our minds from foolishness. Because your friend does it, doesn't make it right. Detach your mind so that the potential of greatness that God has deposited in you can rise. Like I said earlier, it wasn't easy for Abraham to depart from his family. Leave your family. It's not easy. It's not easy. It was a struggle. But guess what? He obeyed it. He obeyed it. How do we see Abraham struggle? He took Lot with him. He still wanted family. Sarai and all the people he had already were not. He's just, Lot said, "Uncle, I'm coming too." Okay, let's go. But God never told him to take anybody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Abraham, though, had the character of immediate obedience to whatever God told him, no matter how difficult. He had that character. It was part of him. Amen. You see, true greatness lies within godly instructions you obey. True greatness lies within godly instructions you obey. If you have not been following this series, go back on our website, wisdomassembly.org. You can listen to those messages for free. Then you can understand what I'm talking about now, because I can't go back to those things I've said before. Are you struggling in obedience? Some people are still asking an explanation about tithe. And you've been in church for 36 years. You are still struggling on the issue. You are still asking questions on first fruit. You are still asking questions on holiness. You are still asking questions on righteousness. The questions, the answers are in your Bible. Read it. Study it. Listen to messages. Hallelujah. Tithing predates the law. Before God gave the law to Moses, tithing has been existing. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. Nobody told him. Nobody motivated him. Nobody by force him. Nobody said, "Oh, if you don't tithe, you are going to lose." He knew it was the right thing to do. Because he was a spiritual man. He understood spiritual things. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 10, the Bible says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, for being translated king of righteousness." There's only one king of righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. "And then also, king of Salem," meaning king of peace. There's only one king of peace, Jesus Christ. "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil." Who gave a tenth, a tithe of the spoil? "And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi," that is in the priesthood, "who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes." Not a suggestion. This is New Testament. A commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham, blessed him. Who are the promises? "Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." As Abraham was given the tithe, Isaac within him was given the tithe, Jacob was given the tithe, you and I, because now we are seeds of Abraham, praise the Lord, Are you struggling also analyzing first fruit? I pray that God will give you revelation. What about those of us struggling to forgive? Unforgiveness stops greatness from flowing to you. Unforgiveness stops the quality of life that God wants to showcase through you. When you are still finding reason why you shouldn't forgive. Forgiveness is not for the benefit of the person you forgive, but mostly for you. Praise the Lord. Why are you allowing somebody else to take room in your mind and make you bitter? Let me repeat to you again. If you are bitter, you go to hell. Bitterness sends you to hell. There's no justification. Don't let anybody make you bitter. Let them go. Release them. Nobody deserves you being going to hell. Hallelujah. Forgive. Let go. The day you forgive, you feel different. You feel better. Every load you are carrying suddenly is removed. You see clearer. You understand better. You can plan better. And then God will answer you when you pray. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, my Father in heaven too, he won't forgive. Praise the Lord. Make it a point of duty this year. I won't allow anybody to make me live in unforgiveness. I won't allow them. Maybe it's your husband. Forgive him. Maybe it's your wife. Forgive her. We all make mistakes, don't we? We all do things that we are not supposed to do sometimes. We all trample on other people's feelings sometimes. My little daughter, she doesn't hold it. You hurt my feelings, Dad. I'm sorry. And that's the end of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you cannot take or receive instructions from the Word of God, how can God rely on you? That's a big question. You can't take instruction from God. And you think God will rely on you? God can't rely on you. God said, I know Abraham. I know him. He will teach his children. He will teach his children because Abraham trusted God. God said, you know what? I trust this guy too. Praise the Lord. When your name is mentioned in the presence of God, will heaven rejoice? Because of Abraham's prompt obedience, God gave him more responsibility. God relied on him, and God called him righteous. Not because he was perfect. The righteousness of Abraham was not born out of perfection. It was born out of obedience. Are you listening to me? The righteousness of Abraham was not born out of perfection. It was born out of obedience. Amen? Do you trust God enough to take him at his word? Do you trust God enough to receive instructions from him that doesn't even sound good to you? Amen? In Genesis 17, I'm going to close shortly. In Genesis 17, God gave a very strong instruction to Abraham again. Why? God needed to seal the covenant. The covenant he made with Abraham, God needed to seal it. Look at what God said in Genesis 17, 23 to 27. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son. He only had Ishmael at the time. All who were born and all who were born in his house and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin. God said, Abraham, to seal this covenant, you have to circumcise yourself. You have to circumcise your sons. You have to circumcise every male in your household. I don't need to emphasize on circumcision. We all know what that means. It's one thing for somebody to do it for you under anesthesia. It's another thing for you to do it yourself. Amen? Now, you know, God said, doing this will seal my covenant with you. Will guarantee that greatness for sure. When did Abraham obey? The Bible says, that same day. Did you hear that? The same day. Let me pray about it. Lord, are you the one really talking? Do you know what you are asking? I'm 90-something years old. My pain threshold is not as high as it used to be. And look at all these people. They will think I'm wicked. And God is like, well, that's what I said. But the beauty of it is, Abraham obeyed the same day. That's the key thing. The same day. That's why I said, look at Abraham, your father. The same day. The same day. Abraham obeyed as God has said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised. The day God said, do it. What instruction have you still been postponing since 10 years ago? And guess what? The truth about this thing is, when God gives you an instruction, let 20 years pass. The instruction still remains the same. Especially for those of us who are always looking for prophets to prophesy. The instruction of 20 years ago, if you have not done it, is still hanging on you. All the vows you made, all the things God said, oh, go and do this, go and do that, and you've still not done it, it's still hanging on you. He hasn't forgotten. Time does not erase God's instructions. Praise the Lord. Change location from where God said it. Doesn't change it. Praise the Lord. So the price of greatness is prompt obedience and sacrifices. Obedience switches. It switches on, activates the seed of greatness within you. You have to make a decision. Who are you going to obey? Is it that God or Satan that walks through your flesh? Hallelujah. In closing, there was a day Jesus was speaking. And you know, the words of Jesus, honestly, you have to be born again to receive it and understand it. When Jesus told those Jews, even Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. They were ready to kill him that day. How dare you? What audacity. Our father Abraham, you? Listen. So this discourse was going on, and they were angry with Jesus. And they were like, we are Abraham's descendant. We are Abraham's this, that, that. Jesus answered them in John chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father, meaning Satan. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's sons or Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? The works of Abraham is prompt obedience. The works of Abraham is believing God. The works of Abraham is trusting God. The works of Abraham is acting on the word of God. My final thoughts. So, we are all the seed of Abraham. We carry the seed of greatness within us. It's in our DNA. is embedded in us. But because it's within us, that doesn't mean we're going to become great. Hallelujah. Everybody has, most people have legs and arms, but not everybody is an athlete. Isn't that true? Huh? Athletes take themselves through certain rigors. They obey the law of athleticism. They have coaches who coach them and tell them what to do. When you rise, move this way. Do your hands this way. Let your face be ugly. You know, every athlete, when they are running, especially 100 meters. Praise the Lord. So because I carry that potential does not mean I'm going to exhibit the greatness. But until you acknowledge God and obey Him, then your value begins to rise. Then your value begins to go up. Amen? Trusting God, obeying God, that's the works of Abraham the Great. That was what called out the greatness in Abraham. Write this down on your note and go and meditate on it. God's instructions leads well and leads right into greatness. God's instructions leads well and leads right into greatness. Instructions you follow in your school is instruction that will make you pass your exams. Don't say the lecturer doesn't like me. You're not even present in class. They say present in class is already 50 marks. But you are not there. You are not listening. You are not making contributions. You are not doing your homework. We live in the age of games. It's good to play games. Our children play games. It's good. But homework is important. Following the instructions. You have something to present. Hallelujah.